On today's episode of the Gashanine Podcast, we have former head coach Bob Bronsema talking UConn and Long Beach State Series. We've got the roundup with Devin, Isaiah, and Aaron Parker. That is all next on the Gashanine Pod, which is brought to you by our great friends at Kyle's Kitchen. And by now, you know where to find them. Go check them out, Kyle's Kitchen. All right, here we go.
It's one of the most beautiful views of any campus in America, the Pacific Ocean crashing against the shores of UC Santa Barbara every morning, noon, and night.
There's the one-strike pitch, and Mitchell bounces to deep left. Cabrera is going to watch it fly.
And Curley pulls back the home run, and the Gauchos are going to win the game.
Gauchos are going to Omaha, can you believe it?
Borgonio is back. He's going to turn and watch this one fly, a two-run homer for Claussen.
And the score is due. Here comes Mitchell. He's going to score.
Willits will make the catch. And the Gauchos are 2022 Big West champions.
Base hit in the fourth, came around to score. Four on the day. Finn deals, and this is hit high in the air to deep right field. Way back there. And this one is gone. Three-run homer for Reese Calvin, his first homer from the left side.
Heard an announcer call that baseball gold right there, a two-out RBI hit.
Yes, sir, as Oakley drives this to right field, going back. Studley looks up, and it's out of here. The Santa Barbara kid launches his first home run. And it's a two-out rally, a four spot here in the first.
Ball and two strikes to Champagne, is 0 for 2 today. Strike three called. Changeup gets Champagne after leadoff walk. Bremner picks off Lopez, then strikes out Marincons and Champagne. He's got five Ks in three innings of relief. Hits with runners at second and third. Bounce out to first in the first. And he belts this changeup to right field. Ashworth is looking up, and this one's out of here.
Well, one local kid does another. That's Trimble, 110 miles an hour off the bat, 388 feet out to right.
Sharpio and Newman, the runners. And Flores' first pitch. Fastball on the ground to second. Oakley to Mendez to McCollum. 4-6-3, a double play, one pitch, two outs for Jackson Flora. That gets the Gauchos out of the top of the sixth inning. A great turn by Oakley and Mendez up the middle.
Karbowski strikeout swinging in the second inning. Pulls this on the ground, right side, diving stop McCollum. He will shovel to Gallagher on the bag at first. A great play by Latre McCollum at first base.
Those things can be taught as well.
This is off the end of the bat, but it's fair down the left field line towards the corner. Jonas Sebring can run well. It's going to get all the way to the fence. Sebring on his horse. It's going to be an RBI double for Oakley. Gauchos get the run back to make it 7-3.
He is Bob Bronsema. You can hear him on ESPN Plus with myself and with Jerry. He's a former head coach of the Gauchos. He's been on this podcast many times now, many times. So not only are you a recurring guest, but you're just a regular guest now. So first of all, how does that make you feel that you're a regular guest on this podcast?
Special. Just the fact that you listen to me talk at all is meaningful, but to have me on where this has your name on it, that's as big as it gets, I think.
I get, it doesn't really have my name on it, but I guess it does. It does say hosted by, so, okay.
It's your podcast. You do everything. It's your job. You're giving credit to the program. It's the kind of guy you are, but you do a great job on this like you do everything else. And like everything else, you do a large portion of it, if not all of it. So good for you.
You see me nodding my head. This is what I do during the games. When you're on a spiel talking about a story that could take six innings.
Yeah, I spiel, no doubt about it. Because I spiel because you just throw bombs out there waiting for me to react to one of them. When I don't react, you get mad. So I feel like I have to react to some of them. And yeah, we'll see. Either people listen, like it, or hate it.
I've received an overwhelming majority of positive feedback. So, including from your son. And I'm going to bring up your son again because he's been a supporter of us. And you told the story about him hitting the home run in the first pitch he saw at Cesar Wasaga Stadium. But that's about all I'm going to mention of Johnny, because he went to UCI and the Gauchos do play UCI in a couple of weeks. And that's going to be a big series, but we're not there
another
yet.
Big series. Every year it's a big series, and that has huge ramifications, you would think, for this year as well.
It feels, because 2022, when UCI
played a role
came, or no,
in regional bids for like four straight years. I mean, going way back, even
13.
Like Joey Epperson years, right? Yeah. Was that like 15 or I'm sorry, like 12, 13 or something, whatever that would be?
13.
He had a grand slam against them late in the year. Just, it seemed like 4 years in a row, including my son's years. They all played a factor in which team would go to the playoffs.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to that, and we're going to do some scoreboard watching later on.
Yeah.
Is Irvine and UCSB both in the top 25?
Yeah, the best case scenario is both teams go. Oh, well, basically.
Right.
For the Big West, right? I mean,
right.
It, both these teams, from what I've seen so far, are more than capable regional teams. So it's about time that the Big West gets their just due and gets that second team in, if not a third team. We'll see if that pans out. But right now, it's a two-team conference for me, for sure.
Okay, let's table that. Let's save it for later. And let's get to Long Beach State, because that's what we just watched this weekend. And I got to work with you for the Saturday game. And we did the flip-flop with Jerry for Friday and Sunday, which I thought went decently well. Maybe we need to iron out some stuff. Maybe on your list that you make, maybe you need to have a Jerry list and then a Kevin list, where like, these are the things I'm going to talk about with Jerry. And then when Kevin sits down, these are the things I'm going to talk about with Kevin. Or is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask?
Multiple times so far, I will have said something and you'll come over and you'll kind of say the same thing. And then Jerry comes back and he says the same thing when you were on. So I'd love for there to be a better script, but it's been fun working with both of you for sure. And I just appreciate the opportunity.
Well, the script we're following is the game. Like, we're both watching the same game. So it's bound to happen.
It would be great. And it's impossible, but it would be great if both of you could listen to it. So when you came in, you could feed off it, but you were doing your own show on the other side and Jerry's off doing 100 things as well. So it's tougher for that to happen.
Well, we hope the listeners and viewers have endured it and are enjoying it. And like I said earlier, I think we've received some pretty good feedback from how it's going so far. So we appreciate it. Now, Long Beach State sweep, Gauchos complete the sweep, and I'm going from like the end of the day on Sunday back to Friday here, because we were doing a little bit of it in the eighth on Sunday, and you pointed it out right before I got up to go across to finish radio in the ninth. UCI and Davis, Aggies putting up an eight spot in the ninth, down eight, and they come back and they win that game. So UCI doesn't finish the sweep against Davis. Then Cal Poly up big against CSUN at home. Matadors with a six-run ninth. They come from behind and win. And then Hawaii on the road against Bakersfield up 2-1 in the ninth. Bakersfield walks them off. Both of those teams were also playing for the sweep. So Gauchos are the only ones that were able to complete the sweep. And I know it's week one.
No, they all matter.
They
definitely all matter. You have to win every series at home, but you need to sweep. And I don't want to insult Davis, because they clearly are a much better team this year. but you need to sweep the teams that are in the bottom quadrant. You know, the at least three of the four teams in the bottom of the 11, you need to sweep. And then if you win the rest of the series, you know, you're in. You should be in, I should say that. So that was a big loss, in my opinion, for Irvine. The way it happened, obviously, is even more traumatic. And it's not the end of the world. As you say, it's the first weekend, but that was a big loss. So it was a big loss for all three of those teams that end up coughing up the lead late.
Yeah, exciting finish, dramatic finish to Sunday. And I thought Gauchos did a nice job on Sunday. It was more of the same script that we saw Friday and Saturday, because Long Beach State, they took the lead and scored first and led in each game. And the Gauchos came from behind and put them away essentially in each game. It wasn't like a come from behind, tie it, and then have to scratch it out at the end. It was a come from behind, take the lead, increase the lead type effort in all three games.
Yeah, and I just think that the Gauchos have so much depth in their lineup, but that's kind of be the thing. They're, you know, they might go a few innings where they're not scoring, but they're going to score because there's so much depth in that lineup, you know, 1 through 9, that are doing positive things. And so I just think they may not be as, even though they do have a lot of power, up to this point, they haven't been knocking the ball all over. You know, last year it was home run or bust. This year they're mixing in a home run, but they're manufacturing some runs, and guys are hitting the ball the other way. They're doing some more technical quality baseball this year than what I recall from last year. And I think that's going to pay off for them in the long run.
Yeah, and looking at the numbers from just this past weekend, I see there's five Gauchos who scored three or more runs. And there are five Gauchos who drove in three or more runs. So that's, you know, five of the nine guys that are in the order are driving in runs, and then they're coming around to score.
Yeah, and you got Nick Oakley batting in the 7, 8, 9 spot. He picked up 9 RBI just in these last 6 games alone. So you're just getting a lot of production. A lot of guys are doing good things. Some of them may not have the best averages, but they're being productive, and ultimately that wins games and wins championships.
When and scoring runs number one on the list of what Coach Fontino wants to accomplish on a day-to-day basis. It's scoring runs, and it doesn't matter. And I think we saw Long Beach manufacture some runs, and in some cases I think you could say that the Gauchos gave them those runs. But you know, this is Division I baseball, and most teams, if you're going to give them opportunities to score runs, they're going to take them. I think Gauchos were given opportunities, they took them, but they were also able to create runs on their own, especially correct, on Saturday, where they hit the three homers to win the game.
Yeah. You know, if you have a bat in your hand, you're dangerous. You know, Long Beach is going to scuffle, I think, a little bit in regards to the fact that that it's tough to overcome a 200 batting average. You really have to be on point each time you get runners on and move them around and execute. They have an outstanding pitching staff. But I think for their weekend, they've had in their losses, I think that was the script in their losses. They jumped up, got some decent pitching. And earlier in the year, they were coming back and winning games. Now they're going the other way around. There are people coming back on them and they're losing games. So it's tough when you don't hit. It's really tough when you don't hit. I mean, you can pitch all you want, and they certainly can pitch, but it's tough for a pitcher when you think, if I give up a run, I'm in trouble.
Well, and against Long Beach this weekend, Patton was tough, Montgomery was tough, and Hood was tough. They all brought a lot different variations of pitches, and yeah, it was different each day.
Yeah.
And all three of them gave Long Beach a chance to win, but it felt like Gaucho offense was able to wear them down throughout the course of the game. Second time, third time through the order, it was Gauchos on the offensive.
Correct. And then the Gauchos got good pitching as well out of the starters, but their bullpen was a difference. Without question, their bullpen came in and was just dominant especially on a Friday and Saturday with Bremner and Flora. And Triba came in and battled and gave the Gauchos what they needed enough. He pitched with a lead and threw strikes. And, you know, he ended up, getting the job done in the end as well. So with that type of bullpen, I'm sure Coach Checkets would love to get at least one more or two more arms in there that they can trust, whether it's, Frank, Camarillo has been kind of the guy somewhat recently, but it's going to be difficult for, to have Bremner, Flora come in there throwing four innings every weekend. It's certainly worked this weekend, but I know that it would be nice to have another arm or two that they can, the coach can then go to and in the sixth or the fifth if he has to. So that's the next chore for the Gaucho coaching staff.
Yeah, and it was a little different this weekend compared to the UConn weekend regarding the starting pitching. Because UConn weekend, it was all three were quality starts. And it, by definition, quality start, I think it's what, six innings, maybe it's either two or three runs or less, for a quote quality start. And Gauchos did not get any quality starts this weekend. But like you said, Bremner, Flora, they combined for 7 2/3, just one hit allowed and no runs. So that's pretty good over the course of two games. Bremner, no hit, four innings, seven punch outs. And he was electric on Friday. And then Flora, 3 2/3. And they both have starter stuff, which makes me think, I think Coach, if he gets five plus out of the starters, Ager, Gutierrez, and Gallagher, hey, like those two guys can certainly finish those games. And that's what we saw over this weekend. But it was a different ask for the bullpen this weekend compared to last weekend, is the point that I was trying to make.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ager battled through his five innings. I thought Gutierrez was good through his. Gallagher, his damage was done by himself on the defensive side of the ball. I thought he pitched very well. But once again, you lead the game and you've only given up three or so, and your team's, maybe four. I don't know if anybody gave up four, but certainly with the type of lineup you guys have, you're going to be able to, you guys averaged almost maybe close to nine runs in these last six games. So that's a pretty good number when you have an ERA of two, whatever the team ERA was, 2.5 or 2.3, whatever it is right now.
Yeah, 2.5 for the six games, and outscored opponents, UConn and Long Beach State, 52-18 over those six games. So getting it done.
Yeah, the batting
on both
average
sides.
The batting average against going in this weekend was 200, tops in the conference, and that probably went down a little bit. So if the Gauchos can play defense, and that includes the pitchers as well, and avoid walks, which really has been right now this last couple of hours has been Ager's bugaboo, and that's very uncharacteristic of him. So I can see him figuring that out. They're going to be tough to beat.
Let's jump back to the UConn weekend. See what we can dig out of this. I already said the three quality starts, but I think it was a big sweep. Even though the two of the games, Friday and Sunday, were essentially blowouts. It was 13-3 on Friday, 12-1 on Sunday. Van Emmon was excellent for UConn and was really the first pitcher to hold Gauchos in check, Gaucho offense in check for the majority of the game. He went seven, allowed just one run, and the Gauchos had to come from behind. But they went to work on the bullpen in that Saturday game to get the walk-off win. UConn, despite their start 7-10, after their series against the Gauchos, beat UCLA, beat UCI, and then took two out of three from Cal Baptist, and they have a quad one RPI ranking currently. And we anticipate them, because that's a decent team, we anticipate them to show well in the Big East. So I think it's like sweeps in the conference are important. Connecticut a quality opponent, come in and you sweep them and handle them, and then they go off and they win some big games.
Yeah, RPI is going to be important if we want to get multiple teams into the tournament. And clearly right now, the Gauchos and Irvine are, you know, very good in regards to where we stand there. Let me see if I can pull up. You might have that in front of you right now, but I think it's...
Gauchos are 13, Irvine at 31.
So Irvine 31. So that loss at home hurt them because they were almost like in... I want to say they were close to single digits at one point, last time I checked, but...
I think going into that Sunday game, or at least Saturday, Gauchos mm-hmm. and Irvine were both in the teens.
In the teens,
yes.
Yeah. So 31 is not... You'd like to be... that should get you in, but it's going to go down, right? Unfortunately, in conference, the way the conference is, we've got, you know, the 283 in there, 252... and then a handful of, you know, mid 100s. So those non-conference things are going to be big if we don't win conference.
Yeah, so let's do some scoreboard watch here. Conference RPI is at 10, and that's out of 30. There's 30 conferences. I don't know how much really the conference RPI matters, but I mean it looks decent when you look it up on the website. It's not like we're at 20, you know, with this conference is competitive. Correct. And we do have the big, referring to the Big West, have a 578 win percentage in non-conference games. And specifically, UCSB, we mentioned the 13 RPI, our non-conference RPI is at 17. The strength of schedule, 25. And the non-conference strength of schedule, 44. And some of the road games, Gauchos had to play in the early part of the season, potentially contributing to this and the fact that they did perform. And Campbell, the opening weekend team for the Gauchos, they're 16-4, and they're rolling right now. Yes. I believe Grant Nipp, who was the catcher, he's leading the country in homers. And Campbell is going to be there in postseason, we're pretty sure. And so they've jumped out to a strong start, which has helped the Gauchos' case.
Yeah. Yeah, the Gauchos' RPI is it will likely end up being the best in the conference. I think Irvine has more work to do on the RPI side of things if they don't win the conference than UCSB will. Because like I said, the conference, we need to get more teams in this conference, into the tournament. And, you know, if we don't get two in this year, it'll be a slap in the face. You know, we've talked many a times about, you know, and you said, I don't know how much the conference RPI matters. It matters only if they use it for the argument. You know, it's whoever's in the room or whatever argument they want to use to win their argument of who they want in. So I don't know who's on the committee this year, if it's exactly the same as last year. And if it is, the Gauchos don't have necessarily, or the Big West, I should say, doesn't necessarily have a representative in there. So they cannot leave any doubt. And so the Gauchos a good start. 13 RPI is outstanding, clearly. you know, I've got confidence in the Gauchos. I just think it's a very good team. I don't think we have seen the best of the Gauchos, and yet they're playing well. They're scrapping well. And that bodes well for when all of a sudden, you know, Xander gets back in there, Breddauer gets back in there, and they start getting more at bats, and you know, Sebring, you know, starts, you know, coming alive a little bit. And, you know, all of a sudden, you guys can start doing some damage offensively and taking some of the pressure off the bullpen, which, you know, which in the long run will pay off. So, you know, still have to go out and do the work, still have to play hard every day, still have to go out there and not take anything for granted. But the Gauchos have been punched enough to understand that, hey, one, we got to be ready to play, and two, we could take a little punch. And that's good information for a kid to have in his heart.
100%. Heart is it's that last word that you said, heart. I think the Gauchos have shown a lot of heart this year. It was a tough week this week, and then obviously leading up to the season, it was challenging, and the first part of their schedule was challenging. It was unexpected, and the injuries have been challenging and unexpected, and they have responded, and it's been guys who are responding who are new, and it's also been guys who have been here. So I think that's a good combination where and just being around the ballpark and listening to things that get said and some of the feedback from the coaching staff is that, like, these guys don't care who's in there. Like, if it's Jesse Brown playing left field, let's go. If it's Ivan Bredauer DHing, if it's Jonas Sebring in right, like, it doesn't matter who is in there or not. If it's Trimble, like, if Rex DeAngelis comes back and starts hitting the ball, like, everybody's going to be fired up no matter who is in the lineup. And I think that's a pretty good thing to get going moving forward to the season. So I'm with you, and I've you know, been excited about this team, and I know that there's been plenty of press about it, and I think it with the slow start you can attribute to many different things, but the fact of the matter is that they've won 7 in a row. They've beaten some quality opponents. They're doing it in many different ways, and you were finally able to see it over the last couple of weeks, and they didn't lose a single one of those games.
Yeah.
So I think this week,
saying all that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Saying all that, you need to bring it every day. You can't look back other than what you learned. You can't look ahead too far. You got to bring the same kind of mentality every day to the park, and not rest on any kind of laurels. You got to stick with the process and know what you got to do to be successful. And that has to bring it every day. So, you know, Gauchos don't have a Tuesday game for a little bit, but those Tuesday games are where you find out how big your heart is, you know, can you bring it on a Tuesday? You got to test, you know, 2 hours earlier, and now you got to go out there and you got to play a team. And, cause those Tuesday games are important.
Well, let's look ahead for a little bit this weekend, Cal Poly on the road. And the Mustangs, they've been a hot team of late. They have, before they lost on Sunday, they'd won 4 in a row. They have won 7 of their last 9 games. And they got off to a slow start. They have played a tough schedule. They've played Missouri, Texas, Utah, Ohio State. They played some big-name schools. They did not score a single run in their 3-game series against Texas in Austin. Shut out 3 games in a row and have since come on and really been strong. And so they're 10-9, their RPI is at 132, and they've been hitting the baseball, and they have some veteran guys as well. And they got a veteran coach up there, Larry Lee. It's going to be a packed house at Baguette Stadium. It's going to be a challenging weekend.
Yeah. Larry's a great coach. We talked about this, I think, during one of the games, that Cal Poly has had many years where they did not do great during their preseason. And you're right, they've played a good schedule, very good schedule. And then they've come to the Big West and done damage. So it's a rivalry game. It's in their yard. They're going to have drunk students and adults in the Cruco section there over there above the dugout, tearing Spencer Erdman apart. Speaking of trying to be tough in their Spence. So, you know, it's going to be an important, huge series. So this is where you draw from the experiences that you guys have had, the difficult challenges that you've done on the road. And so this won't be anything different. You know what you got to do. You've got a guy who pitched for Team USA going on Friday, and he'll go out there and he'll have his best outing of the year because that's the kind of guy he is. That's the kind of pitcher he is. And the people will feed off that. And then you can hope that rolls for the whole weekend.
I believe Friday's game, I've got it right here, 6:00. Saturday at 3:00. Sunday at 1:00 up there in San Luis Obispo. and it should be exciting. I know a handful of people that are already going. And then Tuesday of next week, back to the midweeks against UCLA, who is down this year, but you can never overlook the Bruins, of course. So to finish off, I don't know if you saw it. There's a big white dog that's roaming around behind me in the house here. Could be a metaphor for the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is top five sunset on Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
It was a top five sunset. Matt O'Carroll agrees.
Top five all-time sunsets.
During a Gaucho baseball game. Yes.
Oh, how many caveats are you going to throw in there to try to make your argument work? Listen, I think I sent you just, those are just on my phone that I took with my phone.
There's no way that a few of those were definitely not taken by you.
Absolutely. Every single one of them I took on my phone. I could tell you what spot I was standing when I took them. And I had more. I've started going through. I go, well, I have a lot of sunset pictures on here. And they're all Santa Barbara. And those are phenomenal sunsets. That's why I did not say your sunset stunk. I said it was nice. I don't put it in my top five. And then you gave me a ration of poop on that. And so I sent you just those five or six I sent you on my phone to show you these are what I would consider top five sunsets that I have seen. So
one of them was at Dodger Stadium, by the way.
That's
not
true.
All of them are at Santa
Barbara.
Take it easy.
And you know what? I don't think I took that one. So I didn't realize that till after I sent it. I go, wait a minute. I don't think I took that one. I don't go to too many Dodger games.
Well, it was a great sunset.
That's why it was
Caesar. We're sixth, right? Not top five, sixth. Yeah.
The top five are the ones I took, and the sixth one at Dodger Stadium, which was pretty spectacular. I like colors, clearly. Yeah.
Well, I like having Caesar Wasaga Stadium back, and Gauchos have treated the fans to six wins. They'll be back Easter weekend against San Jose State, but hope to see you at Cal Poly UCLA. What about your list?
My
Portugal wasn't on your list. Give me just like three places that are on your list before we go. Three.
Well, right now, Scotland's number one on my list. That's where we're going. Switzerland will be on the list, and Italy will be on the list. Those are probably the top three on the list. And I am the luckiest guy out there that my wife not only makes me a better person, she makes me better everywhere. And so if it was my list, it would be the bedroom, the kitchen, and the family room. Those are my three places I want to go most. However, she has made me be an adult and things like that, that I guess you have to be when you get older at some point.
You got to see the world, and, Bob.
She is making me a better person, a world traveler. And I just want to say, since you mentioned my son being an Irvine person, my daughter is a Mustang. Just so you're going to have people, my daughter's going to be rooting against you guys this weekend. My wife went to Cal State Northridge. So I got the Big West covered in this place.
Yes, you do. You have a pennant room. You must have a pennant room with all the pennants, all the different schools. Don't answer that.
No, I don't have a list or a room.
Well, I'm glad that you're turning into a world traveler, because life's not all about sitting at baseball games at Dodger Stadium and Caesar. There's more out there. So good for you.
Yeah. That is the truth. As much as it's been 40 years doing that, time I start maybe spending time with the person I love over the place I love.
Good call.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Good call.
See how well she can handle that. She'll test me out in Scotland, I guess. So if you don't see me coming back from Scotland, send me my clubs.
It'll be a test, especially without your clubs.
Yeah.
All right. We always appreciate your analysis. Look forward to working with you again. Thanks for spending the time today. And thank you. That's Bob Bronsma. Thanks, Bronson.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. You bet.
All right, it's time for the roundup, and we're going to do 2 weeks' worth of stats and moments here because we're going to do UConn and Long Beach State series. We've got Devin and Isaiah and Aaron Parker once again. I heard a rumor that Xander Darby really wanted to be on this for this week, but somehow we wound up with Aaron Parker again, so listeners are just going to have to deal with it. Now, before we begin, we have to sort out results from last week. And coming into the post-Oregon podcast, Oates was in the lead with 3, and there's a 3-way tie for second, everybody with 2 points. There was a tie for first this past week between Devin and AP. Oates came in second. Your host came in last. So, Oates currently with 4 points, and the winner of this coin flip between Devin and AP will be in a tie for first. The loser will be in sole position.
Wouldn't first place get 3 points and jump?
Oh, jump. Do we do that? Okay, yeah.
3-2-1-0.
That's right. Winner of this jumps to first place, second place, or the loser of the coin flip is in a tie for second. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, who's calling it this time?
I am.
Aaron Parker.
Yes.
You ready? I'm gonna flip and you call.
Okay. Tails.
It is tails.
Yes.
It is tails. Aaron Parker with the win. Moves into first place with 5 points. Devin and Oates tied for second with 4. And yours truly, Kevin, in last place with 2. I guess I gotta do better in this draft. So that means AP, you get to pick last. Sorry, bud.
Ah, it's all right.
Kevin gets to pick first for player of the week. And you heard, listeners heard before this, Bob Bronson, where we recap the UConn and Long Beach State series. Gouges have won 7 games in a row. Back-to-back sweeps. And are 12-5 heading into this weekend series with Cal Poly. So this draft will recap the previous 2 weeks. And I'm going to start with my first overall pick as the player of the week. Do I want to go position player or pitcher? Position player or pitcher? This is tough. Do I want to leave some guy named A. Parker to another drafter? Or do I want to go pitching? I'm going pitching. So my pitcher of the week, we're going pitcher of the week category first. And I'm going to take Tyler Bremner. 2-0, 2 appearances, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts. Opponents hit .048 against him for the week. 2-0 record in 2 appearances. Can't really top that. And he also popped a 98 on the radar gun over the weekend. So he's my pick for pitcher of the week. Next up, pitcher of the week.
Me.
Coach.
I'm going to go with Ryan Gallagher, 1.5 ERA. Got a win on one of the weekend series. 12 innings pitched. Only giving up 2 earned runs. Striking out 10. Only walking 3. Batting average against was .146. Not bad for a Sunday guy.
Not bad at all. Devin.
For my pitcher of the week, I'm going Mike Gutierrez. ERA might have been a little worse than Galley's on the weekend, but everything else, in my opinion, more dominant. 11 and a third innings pitch, only 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 15 strikeouts, and then also only opponents only hit .132 off of him. So Gutierrez, my pitcher of the week.
All right, P, what do you got?
I got Jackson Flora with two appearances, 4.2 innings pitched, four strikeouts, and batting average against was 133. He threw in high leverage innings for us for the past two weekends, and he's come out and shoved, so got to give it to the freshman.
Not going to mention that one save that he got.
And he did get a save. Thanks, Kev.
There you go.
Add a save in there.
I feel like that's important since he didn't log a win.
Yeah.
He also didn't give up a run.
Right. 0.00 ERA, which means he didn't allow a run.
Numbers matter. Numbers matter. Isn't that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Moment of the week. Aaron Parker gets to go first.
Oh, my favorite moment of the week is Saturday. Brendan Durfee 3-run homer. Was that Friday or Saturday? Friday.
This is your moment. This is your moment. Gosh.
Friday. Brendan Durfee 3-run home run against Long Beach to tie it.
No, to bring us within one.
To bring us within one.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm stumbling today. Brendan Durfee, a pitch above his eyes with two strikes, clobbered over the right field wall for the Durf Trot. It was a great pitch, great hit. It might be brought back up in our exit velo. Probably not, though. And that's my moment of the week. Fridays are very important for the Gauchos. That got us within striking distance. And once we were in striking distance, we came in for the win. Thank you, Brendan Durfee.
Yeah, that was a turning point in that game and maybe in the series, even though it was game one. But it was on the heels of Agerlein, the leadoff homer, and then a walk and a single, and then going three straight outs, including two punchies, to disallow the one run. And then Durfee goes two strike, 3-run homer. It's a big momentum swing. So good pick, Devin.
Yeah, clobbered 380 feet.
Really
about
100 clobbered.
Feet more than me, though. But and then for my moment of the weeks, I'm going with our walk-off win against UConn the Saturday. Bases loaded. Trey comes up to bat, bottom of the ninth inning, and just watches four straight balls to walk in the winning run. So Trey walk-off, my moment of the week.
Walk-offs are fun. Can't argue with that. Oach.
I'm going with happened on Sunday. I mean, this guy's not known for hitting homers, but holy cow, to hit a 453-foot bomb from our second baseman, Nick Oakley. I mean, everyone on analytics knows I'm Team Oak, and when he hit that, my jaw dropped and I just watched it. Just sail over the team bus. That might be the farthest hit we've seen this season. Hopefully not, but yeah.
453, all the way down to the tennis courts. Almost put a hole in the bus, too, the Long Beach State bus.
From Nick Oakley. I mean, if you guess who's going to hit a 453-foot bomb, not to be mean at Oak, but many people aren't choosing Oak there.
I think you're going to hear from him for this, but it's okay. You're on his team, so that's good.
I'm on his team.
Right there.
Okay, my moment is back on Friday against UConn. First home game for the Gauchos. Jonathan Mendez, first career homer out to left center field. Did a little hezzy at third base before high-fiving Erdy. So anytime you hit your first career homer, because I think I picked Jesse Brown, his first career homer, as my moment of the week a couple weeks ago. I'm going with Jonathan Mendez, first career homer. That's my moment. Moving on to...
No honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Seven-game win streak, first sweep of the season, returning home.
Back-to-back sweeps.
Back-to-back sweeps.
Four comeback wins on the two weekends. We're 5-2 when the opponent scores first, which is a pretty interesting stat. Saturday against UConn, our pitchers had a 0 BABIP, which basically means any ball hit and play on that game was an automatic out because UConn had two hits and they were both home runs. So,
really,
yeah.
On Saturday, the walk off.
Correct. That yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Three quality starts on in the UConn weekend. What was the sweep stat that you shared with me earlier, Devin?
Since 2022, out of all D1 teams, we're third in regular season sweeps behind Tennessee and Texas State.
Bang.
Pretty impressive stat.
Let's go to hardest hit. I get to pick first. Once again, it's the challenge of the actual hardest hit ball, or how effective was it? And I'm going with Trimble. Trimble's three-run homer. Trimble's three-run homer on the first pitch changeup from Kellen Montgomery on Saturday. It was 109.9, so 110. We round up, 110 miles an hour off the bat. Traveled 388 feet, but probably didn't get more than 30 feet off the ground. And maybe is still embedded in that oak tree out there in right field. So not only was it hit hard, but it was also a huge homer. Gauchos were trailing 1-0, and Montgomery was dealing, and Trim absolutely smashed that first pitch changeup. That's my pick. Coach.
I'm going to go with Big Ive here. Hit it 111, homer as well. Hit it a left center. Can't remember the day, but I do remember the situation of... Oh, Sunday. Never mind. Just came up to me.
Saturday.
And it felt like Long Beach was gaining momentum. Ivan comes up to the plate, hits a line drive homer. And, you know, from there, I felt like Long Beach just lost all wind that they had in them. So 111 off the bat.
Dev.
I'm going with Calvin Reese's home run. I'm pretty sure that was...
You mean Reese Calvin?
Reese Calvin.
Sorry, the name has it. I read it the way that I put it in the report. Reese Calvin's home run Sunday against UConn. Felt like this ball was in the air forever. It was only actually 6.1 seconds, but he hit the ball 108.2 miles per hour for a distance of 433.8 feet.
It was majestic. It was majestic, especially out to right center. Like when Oakley hits it down the line, the way he did, it's like, it's a note, like, all right, it's gone. But like Reese's is like, man, look, it's still going. Like, it was a majestic shot.
The only home run on this, or the only hit on this list that was in the air for longer than 6 seconds. So yeah, that ball flew.
AP.
You leave me with a tough choice. I'd like to add that Justin Trimble's in the top six, is that three times? Top seven, three times. So that kid hits the ball freaking hard. Four. I'm just going to
Four of the top seven.
Sorry. Yeah, there you go. Creeping in there again. I'm just going to go with the hardest hit ball of of both weekends. Justin Trimble, a double, 112.9. What do we do there? Round up, 113. 223. And I'm almost positive that it was the opposite way, which is an extremely good skill for a left-handed hitter to do. So, yeah, Dev just pointed to me at some sort of the bearing, which shows you which direction the ball goes. Do I care? No. What I care about is it was 113 off the bat, and he mashes baseball. So that's my pick of the week.
Good pick. Yeah, Trimble, he's in four of the top seven, five of the top nine in hardest hit balls of the week. There's also some other guy named Parker Aaron who's in there twice in the top eight. So there's that guy too. Okay. turnaround pitch of the week. Best pitch of the week, AP.
Yeah. I mean, my arguments for pitch of the week is what's our sample size? What's the swing and miss end zone? You know, we're going throughout that direction. So I'm going to say oldie but a goodie, Mike Cudier's changeup. 84 times, strike percentage 65% of the time, strike swing 27% of the time. And then CSW percent. Called strike plus whiff was 35% of the time, and the batting average against was .048. What a pitch. What a changeup. I've seen it myself. I don't hit it very well, nor do other people.
Devin.
My pitch of the week, I'm going with a pitch that was, it seems like it was the best it's ever been, Tyler Bremner's changeup. Or the 2 weeks, he threw it 39 times, a strike two-thirds of the time, so that's 26 times. He got a whiff on it 44% of the time, highest out of any pitches on this list, even the ones with the lower sample size. He got a called strike or whiff 51% of the time, max below 85, and not a single opponent got a hit off of it. So Tyler Bremner's changeup, best pitch of the week.
I think you missed the boat there, AP. This one was the obvious favorite for this round, I think. Because I wanted it. Oach wanted it. It's got all greens on the list, like on the highlighted. Like there's some reds in there. You want to avoid the reds. The greens are good.
Kev, I would like to Kev.
The zero batting average. Can I cut you off here?
Who's leading the roundup right now?
He pulled it.
And two, Mike Gutierrez could be on this list every single week he throws a changeup. Bremner can't say he can do that.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn now. I got to follow.
No, it's my turn. Pick.
No, it's Oach's pick.
My turn.
Touche.
I'm going to go with the Bremner fastball. Threw 74% of the time for a strike. 21% of it was a swinging strike. 41% called strike plus whiff. And then, I mean, only a buck, literally. Opponents are only hitting a buck on it. And he, if you round, which we do round here, he hit 98, so.
Was really looking forward to doubling up on the Bremner pick with either his changeup or his fastball. But apparently we have smart pundits on this podcast, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. So I'm going to pick the Gallagher changeup. Threw it 50 times. Strike percentage was 66%. Called strike whiff 32%, and opponents hit 133 against it. Ryan Gallagher changeup. We got some good changeups on this team. I remember the day when we had Dominic Mazza. He was the changeup expert, the changeup specialist, left-handed. It was just an invisible pitch. He just couldn't hit it, and we've got three guys with invisible changeups, and it's great.
Great guy to have.
In college baseball, I think it's funny that you talk about that because college baseball last year when we had Donegal Fergus as our hitting coach, he said that the great equalizer at college baseball is a good changeup. So I think that's good. Nice little touch to add there because it is a tough right on right, left on right, right on left on left changeup. Hard to hit.
I could never hit it. I think I swung and missed it every changeup that was thrown to me when I played way back in the day. Okay, which leads us to our offensive player of the week. And I'm taking A. Parker. Hit .455 in six games, one double, one homer, seven RBIs, slugged .636. Led the team in on-base percentage at .519. He had four walks. Did not commit an error in the field either.
Chose him over the eye wash stat average. Not even the best hitter of the week.
Go ahead and pick Brennan Durfee, Oach.
I will choose Durfee. Batted 440. Average is a dying stat. Who cares? Yeah, whatever. Slugging, though, 720 on base. Half of the time at 500. This guy hits. I feel like this guy gets on base every game. He's just an essential guy you need in the lineup. Great vibes, great hitter, great person. Love Durf. And Durf we trust, as always, as I say.
Also, both Durf and A. Parker led the team in runs scored with 8. So catchers leading the charge, scoring runs. Evan.
I guess I'm going the next best in all of these categories, Justin Trimble. 444 on base, 545 slugging, 318 average, but that's not the most important thing. He had 25% of our stolen bases over the last 2 weeks. Really impressive, just controlling the run game for the team by himself. And he put up 7 RBIs, a home run, 3 total extra base hits, just 2 good weekends out of Justin Trimble.
Okay. Parker, finish us off here.
I'm going to go with the vet in the lineup, our second baseman, Nick Oakley. You know, the guy said it. It's a dying stat. Who cares about average? I'm not even going to say it. 273. Who cares? He had 6 hits. He had 1 double. He had 2 home runs. Not 1, but 2. He slugged. 5.91, 2 walks, and very little strikeouts. Reason why I said Nick Oakley was because of the one stat that we hold very near and dear to our hearts as a Gaucho offense is scoring runs or producing runs. His RBIs was 9, which is the highest of any hitter in the Gaucho lineup. And if you're going to bat in runs, I'm going to pick you for hitter of the week. Thanks, Nick.
He also had a sac fly and a sacrifice bunt.
Yeah, talk about offensive balance.
Sacrificing for the team.
Yeah.
Sacrificing to the team. He had 50% of the team's sacrifice hits. Sacrifice bunts, 50%.
None of your hitters stole a base, though. So, listeners, just remember that, you know.
Honorable mentions. Ivan Bredauer back in the lineup. Homer, 3 RBIs. Reese Calvin. Homer from the left side, as we mentioned earlier, 4 RBIs, a couple of stolen bases. Anybody else? Well, Mendez hit his first career homer, a couple of doubles.
Xander Darby's first week back, got a knock.
Hudson Barrett's first collegiate at bat.
Strikeout. Sorry.
didn't swing. We got to do better, Huddy. We want you to be mentioned on this roundup, Hudson Barrett, because you're a group one hero when you went 5 for 5 in homers.
In yeah. Truth be told, he owns Kevin Cannon during beat.
Good. Because he's really easy to throw to, unlike one person on this podcast who's got a finite strike zone.
Yeah, my bad.
All right, that's the roundup. You can catch us next week on this podcast after the Cal Poly series. Gauchos on the road for the next 4. 6 o'clock Sunday, 3 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. I said 6 o'clock Friday. 6 o'clock Friday, 3 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock Sunday, and then at Jackie Robinson Stadium on Tuesday night against the Bruins. I believe that's also a 6 o'clock first pitch against UCLA. Anybody else have anything else to add?
Let's go win another 3 games.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. Let's go win another 3 games.
Okay. I love it. Yeah. 6 o'clock Tuesday, UCLA. Hope to see you at Baghead Stadium in SLO. Go get your Firestone. Come watch the Gauchos. That's Devin Kost, Isaiah Ochoa, Aaron Parker. That was the roundup. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kev.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kev.